Okay, guys, we gotta put our trays up for takeoff.
Where's Dad?
Oh, he's in the back. We could only get three seats together.
Daddy has my pillow.
We'll get it later. Can you not put your feet up, please?
Why aren't we going?
We must be in line for takeoff.
Like security?
Well, that was a different line.
I have to go.
We just sat down.
But I have to go.
The seatbelt sign's on.
Why aren't we moving?
Hey, no kicking.
We're just 15th in line for takeoff.
Son of a...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live, local, logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation at 512-643-5483. Now, here are Cardle and Woolley.
Well, it is winter, so, you know, if there's a front coming in, maybe it'll get our weather back to some kind of a little more of a normal pattern. You know, in the meantime, Jim Cardle, the situation with the docudrama keeps going.
Which and docudrama is that?
The documents in Delaware. Man.
The documents drama.
And I'm just going to make one comment about this.
It's getting worse for Joe Biden, yep.
Because I'm watching Fox. I'm watching CNN.
Yes.
I'm not watching MSNBC, thank you, no. But I just am glad and say thank goodness that CNN has Ukraine and George Santos. Because if they didn't have those, they would go dark.
They have Ukraine and George Santos?
They've been reporting extensively on Ukraine for the last 24 hours. There have been some developments there. And they have their own little scandal that they're covering, and that's the George Santos scandal. We'll see how that works out.
We have in our lap right now one of the potentially most severe security breaches ever in the history of the nation.
Wait. Do you want to rethink that statement? We don't know that.
Number one. And number two.
We don't know what is in these documents.
Joe Biden's covering this thing up and smiling in our face about it.
All right, it's stop.
Egregious.
Stop. I want to give you a bit of warning.
Sure.
Nothing's going to happen to Biden.
Well, that's what
Nothing's
going
to happen to any Democrat. This is a big huff and a big puff, but nothing's going to happen to Biden. So when you say the most egregious security, I don't know if I can go there yet. We don't even know what's in these files.
Well, for instance, it's a bigger cover-up than in a worse situation than what Donald Trump.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Watergate.
Mar-a-Lago, when he had the FBI swoop in, where is the FBI and all the law enforcement agents?
Well, it was better
wait,
to let some of the...
agreed to let Joe Biden's own lawyers who are part of the crime scene take care of everything.
This is true, and some of those will be sworn in as witnesses. All right, we've got another term for Greg Abbott. And yes. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
We do.
Now, we have Sherry Sylvester joining us at 8:05 because she's one of the in crowd that was able to go to this.
I'm
just shocked. I'm shocked that you didn't go.
And Sherry's a former Dan Patrick senior advisor.
Folks, I want to tell you the reason that Jim Cardle didn't go is he was busily working on show prep for this morning.
I was. Future show prep as well.
Absolutely.
We got guests to line up.
Absolutely. We got people to see, things to do, contracts to sign, you know, dogs to feed, whatever.
Precisely.
Lots of stuff going on. I want to ask Sherry, the things that pop into my mind that are interesting about this, did she have any of the Cajun Chipotle corn salad?
That's been in the news, yeah.
And did she have any of the barbecue brisket jambalaya?
The Taste of Texas offerings of food from across the state got a lot of attention, didn't it?
It yes. did. And you know what?
Sounds kind of fun.
What the pundits are saying is that Governor Abbott came out and talked in generalities, but Dan Patrick came out and talked in specifics.
Well, there's something to be said for both approaches. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick does rule over the Senate. And the governor's more setting the big stage type thematic type ideas. So I think we're okay there, but we're going to get into it. Yeah, there's a lot to do. And the biggest thing is, Lynn Woolley, If you haven't heard yet, we got over a $30 billion surplus. Lots of extra cash sitting around. Oh, but the Democrats' response was that it's time to right all the wrongs of the last 30 years when Republicans are in control. Evidently, he hadn't heard that we're doing so well.
Well, you're talking about Trey Martinez Fisher.
I am.
A Democrat from San Antonio. And this is laugh out loud stuff. Casey, I don't know if we have a laugh track. But if we did, this one would be the time to use it. He challenged Abbott and Patrick to address the rising cost of goods and services.
Created by one Joe Biden.
Created by his party? Oh, my gosh.
Have a clue what's going on.
You and I were talking a moment ago. I won't mention what building because we don't have any documentation on it. This is just, it's kind of hearsay at this point. Mm-hmm. But one skyscraper that recently topped out in downtown Austin, amid much fanfare, has zero tenants right now.
Correctamundo.
I drive by what's called the sale every morning.
Yep.
There's still buckets and step ladders in the front.
Nobody's
moving
in.
This building has been completed for a long time. I don't see anybody moving in.
And we're about to have the tallest building in Texas.
Well, hold on. I tried to find out if Google had moved into that building. If they have, there is no internet evidence of it that I could find.
Uh-huh.
And I kept Googling it in different ways. Has Google occupied the sale in Austin? Has Google moved into its new building in Austin? Nothing.
You Googled what Google is doing and found not much,
I guess. No, there was no word on it. I'm thinking, well, and then you mentioned the new tallest building where Meta backed out of 35 floors.
Yeah, soon to be completed here in the coming years. Yeah. But
now, whose administration did all this get going under? That would be Trump.
Yeah,
and whose
Donald
administration
Trump.
For the last 2 years has destroyed everything that it has touched.
And
for
we're just
Troy,
getting
Trey Martinez Fisher, a Democrat from San Antonio, to say things like this, he ought to have his mouth washed out with soap. He said, Texas Republicans have controlled this state for nearly 30 years. Yeah, and that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And he said, and 30 years later, Texas costs for our family, I'm sorry, and 30 years later, costs for Texas families have never been higher, said the Democrat Martinez Fisher of the two last names. Will you explain to me his thought process? Because I'm not getting it. His party caused this problem.
Well, that's exactly right. His thought process is, by most common sense and logical analysis, severely flawed. No, Lynn, he doesn't get it. He doesn't have a clue of the reasons why inflation is at record highs, why mortgage rates are up, why people are paying more for their cars.
Two words, Joe Biden.
It's Joe Biden.
And, he says,
and why we have record surplus. Texas is the envy of every other state
yes.
in the nation.
He says House Democrats will lead on cutting costs for Texas families. I am ready to interview this guy. I want to see what in the Dickens is wrong with him.
He agree on cost cutting and budget cutting? Evidently.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a break. Man. We come back. Dan Patrick was talking about a lot of things with some specificity.
Oh, and we got some quotes. Yes,
mm-hmm, we do. Ask your smart speaker to play Talk 1370. This is Talk 1370, the right choice. 512-643-5483. Really busy show on Cardle and Woolley today. And we'll get it going when we come back.
What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right. What?
Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. For the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave for the land
you, Tanya Tucker, right there, Lynn Woolley.
Yeah, and you folks, I've never heard Cardle sing like this. I mean, he was doing When I Die, Let Me Go to Texas.
Oh, one of the great, great anthems of the 80s. So
and of course, Delta Dawn. Gosh, boy,
doesn't get any better than Tanya
Tucker. If I'd known she was there, I one time girlfriend of Glenn Campbell.
Yeah, they got married.
Oh, did they? Okay,
yes,
yeah. All right.
Yes,
well, I might have gone down there to hear that national anthem. All right, one quick thing about a specificity from the governor. Mm-hmm. He had a little interview with Fox Digital right before the inauguration and said that he is focused on the fact that Mayorkas, that's Alejandro to be specific, mm-hmm. lied to Congress when he testified that the border is not open, and the fact that Mayorkas does not enforce immigration laws on the books and shown himself to be incompetent in his job. And Abbott argued that Mayorkas should be prosecuted for impeachment for lying to Congress, lying to Americans, or because he's incompetent. All those things.
For starters, yeah, there could be more.
All right, let's go to some of the clips. We've got some clips of Dan Patrick, and we'll start with one in which the lieutenant governor reflects on the bruising campaign.
You know, we had a bruising campaign again. I don't know what was more annoying when I would come home on those rare occasions from the campaign trail and turn on the TV, and every 5 minutes there was an attack ad on us. I don't know if that was more annoying or another Mike Lindell MyPillow ad.
Now.
Now he has my slippers. Mike's a friend. I said, Mike, you say you can wear them indoors and outdoors. If you wear them outdoors, they're shoes. No wife's going to let her husband come inside after being out in the pasture or mowing the grass with slippers. And he lives in Texas now, and I told him I'd take him to a rodeo. I said, you can have George Strait jeans. You can have the finest Stetson. You can have a Tony Lama shirt. But if you have slippers on, you're not getting out of the truck.
Oh, poor Mike Lindell.
He's moved to Texas. Another example.
Wait. He makes his pillows up north. Why? How would he live in Texas? What, is he like working from the house or something?
Well, he's moved his location and his corporate entities, I imagine, to a state where there's no income tax, like everybody else in America is voting with their feet, leaving California, leaving New York, and in this case, Minnesota. Yeah, they're going to go where there's less regulation and more freedom.
All right. Well, the lieutenant governor extrapolates on that. 11 million people coming to Texas since 2000.
They come to Texas because not only do we love God, we love our country, we love our state, We salute our flag when we kneel. It's not against the flag, it's to pray to God. We are a blessing. Texas is unique. When Texans travel around the world and someone says, where are you from? We don't say America, we say Texas. They know where Texas is. No one from Delaware says Delaware. No one knows who where Delaware is. Well, maybe they do now because of a Corvette in a garage, but that's another story.
You know, that'd be a great Love campaign that. Slogan, wouldn't it? A Corvette in every garage.
As opposed to a chicken in every pot, yeah.
Well, here's Patrick laying out the Senate agenda, property tax up as the primary thing.
Just a few things you want us to do. You want us to continue lowering your property taxes, and we are committed to doing that with billions of dollars. When I came into the Lieutenant Governor's office in 15, your homestead exemption was $15,000. It had been that way forever. We increased it to $25,000. And then last session with Greg Bonin, the appropriations chair in the House, who works with us, thank you, Mr. Chairman, we raised it to $40,000. And in the budget that we will release this week, the Texas Senate will raise your homestead exemption to $70,000, which will save you thousands of dollars over the lifetime of your home, enough to make a difference. And the governor and the speaker and the members will come together and we'll find a way that's long-term property tax relief with billions of dollars from this surplus because you come first. It's your money.
All right, couple things there. I just wonder, though, how that's going to work out in the ensuing years when the budget surplus isn't there. But that seems to speak directly to Trey Martinez Fisher, the weaselly Democrat mm-hmm. from San Antonio. We have his entire statement. It's not long. Let me read all of it. And I want you to be remembering while I'm reading this statement that Dan Patrick just talked about all this surplus money that he wants to give back. He's got to get this through, obviously,
yes.
But that he wants to give back because, in his words, it's your money.
True.
Here's Representative Trey Martinez Fisher, Democrat of San Antonio. What makes Texas great are Texans. In this session, with a historic surplus, we have at least 33 billion opportunities to invest in the future of Texas.
Oh, the old invest word.
House Democrats will put people over politics and stand ready to work to build a state where our children can have dreams as big as Texas. Then he says, what we did not hear from Governor Abbott and Lieutenant Governor Patrick is a plan to address the economic pain Texans are facing. What did we just play? Then he says, all over this state, families are having difficult conversations around the kitchen table about Bidenflation. I threw that in.
Uh-huh.
The rising cost of goods and services. This is a Democrat who has obviously never looked in a mirror, never been introspective, and has no self-awareness. He says, a dozen eggs are $6. Yeah. College tuition is rising, and insurance and utility bills are skyrocketing. Texas Republicans have controlled this state for nearly 30 years, and 30 years later, costs for Texas families have never been higher. We should use this historic moment to right the wrongs of the last 30 years. House Democrats will lead on cutting costs for Texas families, and we will work with anyone that's ready to work with us to deliver for Texans. That's the entirety of that very big piece of hypocrisy that he put out. When he said, right the wrongs of the last 30 years, the first thing that came to my mind was, let's put the statues back up that you idiots took down.
He is the head of the Democrat House Caucus, and yeah, the thing that caught my attention there, too, as well, is the Democrats are going to put people over politics. Mm-hmm. I mean, that means that he's stating the obvious right there out loud. They do exactly the opposite. And this crazy statement right out of the chute to me is a perfect example of how that's not going
to
happen.
That statement could have been written by a complete nutcase. Let's go to Stephen in Round Rock. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, fellas.
Morning, sir.
Well, you know that the WEF, their shindig is rolling full steam over there in Davos, Switzerland. And one of the topics that's really on their mind is they're all really concerned that those cuckoo Republicans in America might not raise the debt ceiling and keep printing all the money.
You're talking about the World Economic Forum over in Europe, yes.
That's right. It's where our psychopathic overlords get together every year to publicly release all of their plans that they make in their smoke-filled back rooms on how they're going to control the planet. We're all going to be we're all going to have nothing and be happy.
Oh, how we're going to reduce global warming by looking at the problem in India and in China, perhaps, as opposed to taking away our stoves from housewives in America?
Absolutely. All the made-up scary stories, the boogeyman things that they do to scare us into making them more empowered and more wealthy at the rest of the world's expense.
And Governor Abbott even got into the idea, I want to get your opinion, or Lynn, maybe circle back, that he's talking about the worldwide stuff, but Governor Abbott in his speech and Lieutenant Governor Patrick there, they were talking about some of the things at the national level as well, like the immigration issue. That's another one that's talked about at these World Economic Forum type meetings. I think Texas is clearly, I just don't understand how anybody can come down and be so crazed as to try and find some excuses, is what these are, of how Texas might be the evil that they always see in everything. We're never stronger than we are right now. This is just amazing.
They're just POLs, psychopathic overlords. Okay. Talk 1370, the right choice. Carlin Woolley in the morning. We'll be right back.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Your daily recommended allowance of logic. It's Cardell and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join in 512-643-5483.
Bulletin. They are saying now on CNN, the Chicken Noodle Network, when it covers the Biden situation, that Biden is frustrated. Biden is frustrated. He just doesn't understand. Why is everybody paying all this attention to all these stupid documents? You know, it's not a big deal when a Democrat has a document.
Yeah,
it's only a big deal when
pony soldier.
Yeah, when a Republican has a document.
He's getting frustrated that his White House staff is not being able to set up some type of crisis management situation where they actually get ahead of the curve.
That's, you mean the witnesses? All right,
that's a difficult thing to do when you're this deep in doo-doo. Yes.
CNN decided to do a long reporter report on Biden's frustration.
Okay.
Now, when we busted up this audio into what we call bites.
Sound bites, yes.
sound bites. You know, back in the day, those were called actualities.
Yes.
Now they're called sound bites.
And they were on tape.
This woman, MJ Lee, never breathes. Never. There was not one pause anywhere. So we had to be very clever editing. Here she is explaining that Biden is not taking the story well.
What we are learning is that as this story has consumed the White House over the last week, President Biden himself has grown frustrated at what he feels like has been a story that has overshadowed a positive streak for the administration. And meanwhile, in the building behind me, White House aides who were many of them in the dark about this story until the story really broke last week, that their mood is one of quiet resignation, that their story of a it is what it is mentality right now, as they too wait like most everyone else to see if more classified documents surface.
Yeah. And Lee also reports that White House insiders are not happy with how this is being handled. I guess, by the White House. We'll see what she says.
What has been really notable in reporting out this story is that even some of the president's closest allies are sort of starting to wonder out loud why the White House wasn't more forthcoming about all of this and about what they have known and why they weren't more forthcoming sooner, particularly puzzled by the White House counsel's office decision to put out that initial statement last week, but not disclose that they knew about additional documents. For example, former Senator Doug Jones is somebody that I spoke to for this story, and he said that he believes the White House has made some unforced errors. He told me, once you make a statement, once you have the facts, you have to be full and complete. They weren't full and complete, and he says, gosh, come on, y'all, you've got to do a better job when things like this happen. That's exactly what I would say. He obviously used a slightly different word there.
Yeah, it started with an S, and by the way, full disclosure, we did not edit out the pauses in that clip.
Yeah.
There were no pauses.
What Come she's on, explaining right? there is that Joe Biden just is clueless when it comes to the fact that he's not above the law.
Well, let me ask you to name, and I know that Trump has been president, but in our lifetimes, who's the most arrogant president?
Obama.
Oh, no.
Yes, we can.
Oh, no.
Oh, I would say
No. Joe Biden is the most arrogant. Obama didn't go out in the cornfield and fight corn pop behind the garage or whatever. Obama didn't say that he was arrested two or three times with Nelson Mandela or whatever that fabrication was.
That's a bunch of malarkey.
Obama didn't say that he would get up and go to mass and then go over to the black church.
He did, give me a little break here.
He did think that he was awful high-minded. Biden's just clueless.
Joe Biden is arrogant as hell, admit it. All right, now here is John Berman, busted from the morning show, asking this reporter Lee about Biden's staff. I can't remember how he got a word in. I think they just turned her mic off. But anyway, she refers to Washington's most favorite dodge. Take a listen.
The answers to the questions you were posing before about why the White House and Biden insiders handled this as they did, what governed their decisions and statements?
Well, what we're basically learning is that ever since those first batch of classified documents was discovered in early November, the small number of aides have known about the existence of the documents have operated under the basic rule of don't share anything publicly that could jeopardize this investigation. And a part of that calculation clearly comes from Bob Bauer himself. This is the personal lawyer to President Biden who has been taking lead on this. You saw that statement from him over the weekend when he tried to lay out how he has been trying to balance transparency and not interfering with an ongoing investigation. As a part of that, he said, look, I think it's important to not be publicly sharing information about the investigation as it is ongoing.
Okay. I need to breathe.
Now,
interesting
thing here, they're talking about the Department of Justice and how we're talking about how the Department of Justice has been weaponized in the past. They're talking here about how the Justice Department is the ones calling for a special counsel. That's one thing. But the House of Representatives and their investigation is going to be far different.
Okay, well, I heard different stuff here. I heard the White House is saying we can't talk because it would jeopardize the investigation.
Right.
And that is Washington, D.C.'s number one all-time biggest used, most often used dodge.
Well, there may be a bit of appropriateness for that in the instance of the documents next to the gas-guzzling Corvette in Joe Biden's garage. That's not going to be the case when it comes to the House of Representatives' investigation of Biden's playing favoritism.
Jim, nothing is going to happen to Joe Biden.
Millions off the Chinese.
No sitting president has ever been indicted. I'm not sure any former president has ever been indicted. Joe Biden has a Democrat-controlled Senate. If he is impeached by the House,
true,
he will be exonerated by the Democrat-controlled Senate. Nothing is going to happen to Joe Biden, and there is nothing to stop him from commenting on this.
And now, meanwhile, you said, Obama, is it the Democrats trying to take Joe Biden out of the presidential mix?
We don't know. There's a lot of speculation.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Madeline Hubbard in Just the News, Obama's ethics officer, a guy named Walter Schaub, an Obama appointee, and he was the former government ethics office director, said the discovery of the classified documents in Biden's home reflects an inexcusable neglect of basic security procedures. He says it's nothing like Trump's deliberate refusal to return classified records demanded by the National Archives, but Biden's own retention of classified records reflects an inexcusable neglect of the most basic security protocols.
Well, I disagree with that a bit, because the president has the legal right to have access and to have previously classified documents. The vice president does not. This is a far more serious and egregious crime than what Donald Trump or previous presidents have done, because it was Joe Biden as vice president. This is far bigger.
All right. Talk 1370 is the right choice. Always streaming at talk1370.com. Jim Cardle is the Texas Insider. I'm Lynn Woolley, the Secretary of Logic. More from Dan Patrick when we come back. So then we can talk to Sherry Sylvester about what he said. We'll be back in a moment.
Keeping Austin logical, it's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation, 512-643-5483.
All right, if you haven't downloaded the Odyssey app, do that. You can find Cardle and Woolley there as well. Now, let's go back to the inauguration yesterday. We have some more clips from Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. And in this particular clip, Jim, he's talking about what might happen with regard to the border in the new legislature.
You have asked us to secure the border. And Governor, the governor, he's had a lot of great ideas. He called the speaker and myself one day, and he said, I need some more money. We said, for what? I want to send buses. Where? To all those blue states. Dade and I said, we're in. And the mayor of New York City is complaining because he has a few thousand people in a city of 8 million. When our cities on the border, because of the federal government's lack of securing our border, are overrun. But without our National Guard, without our DPS troopers, without local law enforcement, it would be far worse. There would be even more drugs, more terrorists, more criminals crossing this border. Our budget had been $400 million a year. In the last 2 years, we spent about $4 billion. That's tax dollars out of your pocket that we shouldn't spend. And we're going to need a change in the White House in 24 to get that border secure, because this president is not doing his job. And even the Democrat governors and mayors say he's not doing the job.
You know, that sounded like a little bit of unity among some of the Texas bigwigs, the Speaker of the House, the Lieutenant Governor, and the Governor on that busing.
Well, yeah, of course, there's the naysayers in the media who are going to try and create some divisions amongst the state's leaders like Patrick and Abbott, but they're totally in agreement is the essential fact of the matter here. And it is interesting that he's pointing out, a lot of folks will have seen that the New York City Mayor Adams went to El Paso the other day, and he did cry out for more federal dollars because they're a sanctuary city. It's always interesting to me how they don't think it's a problem when it's in Del Rio and Eagle Pass and El Paso, but yet the buses land in their lap, and all of a sudden we do have a border security crisis. You're darn right. It's about time they realize it. And in doing so, he was criticizing his own president. I thought it was pretty interesting.
All right, and Patrick on school choice.
School choice. The governor and I are all in on school choice. Now, I know for some, they say, well, it could hurt rural Texas. Well, let me give you a number. We have 1,207 school districts in the state. 486 of them have less than 500 students. There aren't going to be any private schools coming in there. The economics don't make sense. 76% of our districts have less than 3,000 students. The economics don't make sense. 49 districts have more than half of the students in Texas, 200,000 in Harris County, well over 100,000 in Dallas. I could go on. Most of our schools are good schools. Many of our schools are great schools. My wife was a longtime teacher. I'm proud that we gave teachers the biggest raise in history, and we're going to do that again because it should be a profession and not a job. But I can tell you that to the naysayers that say school choice hurts rural Texas, the governor and I will have a plan to protect those schools financially and to make sure those parents have choice also where they are in a failing school. Because no parent should have to send their child to a school that's a failure, to a school that they feel is unsafe, or if you have a child with a disability, which is about one out of every four students, if that school can't help you, and many of our schools do a great job with the disabled. So we are going to pass school choice, and I hope finally this is a session that we join over 30 other states in giving parental rights to parents to choose the school of their choice.
I believe in school choice, but I really think we need to look at the whole structure of our schools in Texas. I've often thought we have so many school superintendents, over 1,000, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. He listed the number there, 1,200 ISDs.
Yeah, why not 257 school districts and let that be it?
What he's talking about there is that the people, the poor and the minorities that the left always claims to represent the most, they are the ones whose children are getting the worst education. They are the ones who are being hurt the most by these liberal policies. It's time the parents had a choice.
Now on woke professors at state colleges.
A subject has come up of tenure. And let me just say this. I don't start any fights, but I do my best to finish a few on your behalf. Out of nowhere, some professors said, we're going to teach critical race theory at our college, at our university. And I tweeted out, wait a minute. We ban critical race theory in K-12 next session. If you are heck-bent on teaching it to our college students, we will ban it in college. They came back and said, well, we don't listen to the legislature. We don't listen to the Board of Regents. They're not accountable to anyone. Well, let me tell you what. Our public professors are accountable to the taxpayers because you pay their salary. And they are accountable to the Board of Regents, and they are accountable to the legislature. Tenure is fine for our research professors and our doctors, but for those professors in the classroom every day, I don't want them teaching, just like the parents don't want in K-12, that if you're white, you're a racist, and if you're of color, you're a victim. I don't want teachers at our colleges saying America is evil and capitalism is bad and socialism is better. And if that means some of those professors who want to teach that don't come to Texas, I'm okay with that. I want professors who love this country, who love this state, and raise up the next generation to be proud of being in business.
Yeah, that's pretty strong stuff.
It is, absolutely. And he's getting at the indoctrination. There's no denying it. The woke left has infiltrated, first and foremost, colleges. I think it's high time that something's done about it. I like what he's saying there.
Well, I do too.
And I know you've got a rant or two up your sleeve anytime we talk about higher ed, but boy, is it a mess.
Or lower ed, as it could be called. And by the way, remember, Abbott will give his State of the State in February, and he'll outline what he wants to do at that particular time. But this was a pretty fiery speech by Dan Patrick. I do think that when it comes to schools, whether it's secondary schools, whether it's our colleges and universities, our system is broken. We need to really look at some new ways to do this, some ways so that the poor school districts don't have subpar and the rich school districts have everything. And then we've got Robin Hood to deal with. There's so much.
Yep.
Talk 1370 is the right choice. Sherry Sylvester will join us after the top of the hour. We'll be back.
Live, local, logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation at 512-643-5483. Now, here are Cardle and Woolley.
And Sherry Sylvester will join us right now because yesterday was Inauguration Day. Her ex-boss, Dan Patrick, was taking his oath of office for the third time.
Fire,
yeah. Yeah, Greg Abbott. What a speech by Dan Patrick. And there were certain portions of it that just stick out in my mind. And I'm going to start by asking Sherry Sylvester about wokeness because Ron DeSantis says Florida is where wokeness goes to die. Sherry, I kind of heard that same sentiment yesterday from Dan Patrick.
Well, yes, Governor Patrick gave a huge heads up to the academic institutions across the country that he is, and Texas is no longer going to tolerate these huge institutional ideological indoctrination factories that are known as diversity, equity, and inclusion. There is an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal today that talks about what state legislatures can do to rein in the the crazy stuff that's going on, Lynn and Jim, at the University of Texas, in order to be hired, you have to sign a statement talking about your adherence to these principles, these anti-American principles that basically say this is a racist country and that everything that we have is built on that racism and we've got to correct it. There's just two kinds of people, oppressors and victims.
You know what, Sherry, in listening to that clip, and I don't know if you were tuned in the last 10 minutes, but we played that clip of Lieutenant Governor Patrick saying that woke professors at state colleges better get ready for some changes. I want to ask you as bluntly as I can, is this something that the state leaders, all the big ones like Phelan and Abbott, Patrick, the Attorney General, are they all united on this? And did Dan Patrick just draw a line in the sand?
Governor Patrick did draw a line in the sand. The state leadership is united. The legislature is united. I think one of the things that is happening right now, Lynn, is the realization. We've always known that the University of Texas was like a left-wing cabal, left-wing kind of enclave, and everybody pointed to them. But as we began looking at this, I'm doing a lot of research on it. Texas Public Policy Foundation's doing a lot of research. We find that all of Texas' 31 universities have huge DEI infrastructures. This is not limited to UT at all. Millions and millions of dollars are spent on these efforts to push this ideology. It's an indoctrination effort, and it's riddled in our universities.
He also talked not only about higher education, Sherry, but about our high school, middle, and elementary schools. I've always, in a bit of a wordsmithing phrase, like the idea of stapling state money to children's backs and letting them take it wherever they want to go, whatever school they want to go to, whether it's a public school, a charter school, or a private school. That was a big issue. Parental choice is going to be front and center. Probably a better chance than typical, but that's another issue that we got to resolve here in Texas. Kids in the poorest areas aren't being helped.
Absolutely. School choice. This is, Jim, you and I have worked in a lot of sessions where school choice is a priority. This could be the year, and I think it's because it's the perfect storm with the pandemic. People now understand what's going on in their schools. There will be huge blowback from the teachers' unions, just as there'll be huge blowback from the university communities. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be fun over the next weeks to watch what kinds of arguments they come back with. But, yes, this is a year for school choice. It's the year for property tax relief. You know, but one of the things, guys, that I thought that was really important, I was honored to serve on the Texas Honorary Inauguration Committee this year, and was what both Governor Patrick and Governor Abbott did in terms of creating an inauguration that was about Texas. You know, they're coming off a double-digit victory. The culture, the music of the event, we think of this, we know this. But you've got to remember that in our society, Governor Abbott was providing facts to half the state. They don't know that we're the most productive state. They don't know we have the ninth largest economy. Senator Brandon Creighton, when he introduced Patrick, talked about how Texas is the state where U-Haul shows most people from all over the country are coming to live. This is, you know, we have passed a teacher pay raise.
Yes.
I'm sure that's news for people who are listening on the legacy news every night, that how bad it is for teachers, and we've got to raise their salaries, and that's certainly something you always look at. But I think that the inauguration really reflected Texas and what our story is and our success here.
And the food.
Yeah. Okay, we've done the fluff. Now I want to get to the meat of this story. Did you have a chance to meet Tanya Tucker?
I waved, I didn't meet her.
Oh.
But wasn't she wonderful?
Oh,
she
sang
wonderful?
The national anthem. I've always wanted to meet her and ask her what Glenn Campbell was like and stuff like that. But, okay, well, then if you didn't meet her, let me ask you the other big question I have, and that is, at the Taste of Texas, did you have any Cajun Chipotle corn salad?
Someone brought me some of that Cajun Chipotle corn salad. It was stupendous.
But
it
I'm assuming you didn't save any for Cardle and Wooly.
No, I didn't. But that, I could have had I known. I could have had. You guys didn't call me until later. I did.
Tell us a little bit about
the Bionic Man. I did meet the Bionic Man, Lee Majors.
Lee Majors was there. Wow.
Lee Majors was there. That was great. He was introduced as a special guest. And another person that was introduced that might interest you, Lynn, is Dot Cunningham. And she is the wife of the recently passed astronaut Walt Cunningham, who died later this month, and the last of the Apollo astronauts. And the fact that she was a special guest of Lieutenant Governor Patrick points to something that's important to him. He does not feel that we have done enough in the Capitol to highlight the achievements of Texas in the space race and our astronauts. We have no pictures of astronauts at the Capitol, and I think that's something that he wants to change.
Oh, I think that would be great. Well, tell us a little bit more about all the festivities and the parties and the balls and all that kind of stuff.
You know, there's nothing quite like this. I mean, the music was tremendous, and what I love about the inaugurations is that if you've got all the big guys state money is used for any of this, not a dime. It's all funded by private money. Of course, the press doesn't even like that.
Right.
But it's all funded by private money, and so you've got some guys that some leaders of business. Mm-hmm. We're very involved, but you also have tickets that sell for $10. So there is something for everyone here. And I think everyone has an opportunity to go, to attend, importantly, to shake hands with Governor Abbott, Lieutenant Governor Patrick. And I can tell you, they don't just shake hands. People come in and they have just one thing they want to tell them.
Yes, everybody's got an opinion, don't they?
Which is great.
Yes.
Which is great because in a state of 30 million people, you believe that you have access. And you do. You have access to your leaders. And, of course, they came off this huge victory, you know, of a double-digit victory. So
yes.
resounding refusal, rejection of Democrats. And so, I think just that feeling, that big Texas buzz, the cowboy boots like you've never seen, the rhinestones on the hats. It was Western this year. Lots of turquoise. It wasn't black tie, which is another thing that makes it Texas. So you didn't have to go do the whole long dress and all that. It was a Western chic was the ball. And so that was amazing, too.
Let me ask you maybe a little more boring question back here on the policy, because I think Governor Abbott's already gotten a little attention, or there's been focus on his dabbling in the impeachment calls for Secretary Mayorkas based on his breaking of the law and not enforcing laws at the border. Tell us what you heard about that and what you think may be coming down the pike here for this legislative session. We got a surplus and more needs to be done at the border.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't think I don't think there's any disagreement, but I'm sure the Democrats do disagree about what we're doing at the border. But Biden was Abbott was so powerful when he said Biden was missing in action on the border. There were so many people. I was sitting at lunch with people from South Texas and Democrats who were there to support Abbott on this issue.
Wow.
And
wow.
There's no question that something's got to be done. Mayorkas has to go, and I think that's if there's anything close to a consensus, except for the radical left wing of the Texas Democratic Party, it is that what Biden is doing at the border is not working. I think that was a very important piece.
Sherry, we're already over our time, but I can't let this go without asking you if you saw the statement made by the Texas House Democratic Caucus, specifically Representative Trey Martinez Fisher, Democrat of San Antonio, who challenged Abbott and Patrick to address the rising cost of goods and services, and I would add parenthetically, caused by his party.
Exactly. What planet? What planet? You know,
exactly.
No, what planet is that guy on? And other Democrats said similar things following on Trey's lead there. That do they, I mean, that the property taxes, for some reason, we were paying higher property taxes in Texas. This is what they were trying to say, because of inflation, which, of course, is not why we're doing it. This is, I mean, and they think they can sell this. And that so somehow it is the conservative Republican administration, which has cut, which does not spend anything that is not based on conservative principles.
And our economy is so strong, we got a record budget surplus.
It's just amazing to me. Lynn, I hardly know what to say because, you know, you just can't go. And you look at this and you go, well, that's stupid.
I know. It's like conservatives and Democrats' brains are wired totally different. Sherry Sylvester, senior fellow at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, one of our favorite people. And Sherry, how about we meet again right here about 8:35 on Friday, and let's do some winners and losers.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
All right. See you then.
Real insider right there, Lynn.
Just two rejected applicants for the Biden Ministry of Truth.
We choose truth over facts.
Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Sound off on the day's top stories. 512-643-5483.
You know, CNN loves a good scandal, and of course, Biden's providing him with one, but they're really fixated on the George Santos scandal. I'm going to ask you something. This George Santos,
a guy from New York that's a congressman.
A little bit about him. Yeah, he apparently has been a compulsive liar all his life. He's openly gay. He, what else do we know about him that we could tell people?
Newly redrawn district up there.
Correct.
So that had an impact on how he could get over the goal line.
Could I make a notice to CNN, just in case they have reporters here that might be listening?
Sure.
I don't give a flip about George Santos, whether he stays or goes. At this point, I don't even care if they hold a special election and a Democrat wins. He's a compulsive liar, and he needs to go. But it needs to be done in a correct manner. I don't know. I mean, I know that I think it takes 2/3 of the House to expunge him.
Yeah.
But I just want them again, like this Trey Martinez Fisher, who Sherry just said is on some other planet, and totally agree with her. It's like he's never looked in a mirror or ever read a news story in his life, and how that somebody that ignorant can become a member of the legislature.
Fault, of course.
But when CNN is doing these stories, and the problem with George Santos is specifically that he is a compulsive liar, then do they look over at the White House?
Precisely. The fact of the matter is this is a freshman congressman from New York. Of course, he's a Republican, which provides red meat fodder for the Democrats, but they get immediately into the briar patch because he's misrepresented his entire life, his entire personal history, and that's what's being defined anymore in the public square as lying. And so the cry arises, this guy's got to go. He's not fit to serve.
All right.
Yet they open up the Pandora's box, don't they?
Let me relate it to something, because you know me.
Yes.
I'm a major proponent of whataboutism. I think the Democrats ought to use it whenever they can. I think the Republicans ought to use it. Everybody ought to use whataboutism.
Because
whatabout relates to equal justice, which is what we're supposed to have under the law and not social justice. All right, so let me throw out a statement where somebody lied on the other side of the aisle. Mitt Romney doesn't pay any taxes.
Oh, Harry Reid.
That was Harry Reid who lied after the election. He admitted he lied, and his justification was, well, Romney didn't get elected, did he?
as if that's justification.
Now, okay,
can you
believe
that?
But the follow-up to that is, how much did CNN bitch and moan about that? None. How much did the left-wing media care? None. How would we even know about it? We heard it on Rush Limbaugh or somewhere else.
Doing it right in your face and admitting it in public, just like when Joe Biden said we've developed the most substantial voter fraud operation.
Well, that was a Freudian slip. But let me ask you, what's the difference in Harry Reid lying about Mitt Romney to keep him from getting elected and George Santos lying about his own resume to get elected? Is there any difference?
Well, a lie is a lie, is what most people would say. They just are going to think negatively about politicians in general, regardless of party.
Well,
but there is a difference. One was done with intent to ruin somebody else.
Well,
the other was done with intent to get yourself elected.
But there's also a difference in Santos and Biden, and I'll say it, and it doesn't work in the favor of my argument. But I'm a guy that puts the cards on the table. I don't think a lot of people, and maybe they did, I don't know, and not being from his district or his state, I wonder how many people knew that he was a congenital liar. On the other hand, everybody knew Joe Biden was a congenital liar. He's
true.
A plagiarist. He's a known plagiarist. He's a known
for
liar.
For decades.
And yet.
The mainstream media has criticized him.
And yet.
They voted for
what
him.
Do you say? He won the election how?
He stole it fair and
yeah,
square.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
All right, so there's a watchdog that has filed an ethics complaint over the White House counsel's involvement. It's called Protect the Public's Trust.
Yes.
And here's their statement. President Biden promised the most ethical and transparent administration in history if the White House compounded a scandal involving possible mishandling of classified documents by improperly using taxpayer resources for his personal benefit and putting White House attorneys in positions that created conflicts of interest. We could be witnessing a serious betrayal of the public's already plummeting trust. Now, that's this organization called Protect the Public's Trust.
Mm-hmm.
Is this going to be, Jim Cardle, and I'm going to ask you to wrap this up in about 20 seconds.
All right.
But remember, Watergate was a third-rate burglary. What was the problem was the cover-up.
Always
so
is.
Is Biden having the documents the problem, or is Biden's treatment of the aftermath of having the documents the problem?
Well, they're both big deals. It's always the cover-up, though, and the aftermath. That's what's coming out. And as all of a sudden, people are not only saying, wait a minute, he criticized Donald Trump for doing the same thing. But the more interesting thing is whether it's his own party trying to get rid of him or not, I think is what's going to be interesting to see.
All right, a little bit more on this coming up. This is the only radio talk show in Austin, Texas that you will ever really need. Talk 1370, The Right Choice. Lynn Woolley, Jim Cardle, back in a moment.
Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370.
I am just a small-time, humble talk show host with no ego.
Join in 512-643-5483.
Well, yes, I am. Talk 1370 is the right choice. You got the right hosts here because you got the inside scoop from Jim Cardle. You got the
inaugural details from Sherry Sylvester.
That's right, and you get all the bitching and moaning from me. So you know it's all in one package.
The only show they'll ever need.
The only show. That's right.
Radio.
By the
excellence.
Way, you're wrong, and when you're wrong, I like to point it out.
Oh, now what was it?
Well, we had an argument during the break, folks, and. We may need some soap opera
no,
organ
music.
No, I can't
argue with
you. No, we had a big argument. I said, you said John Wayne's, did you say John Wayne or Doris Day is the greatest movie star of all time?
Doris Day has got more movies
no.
than anybody,
actually,
but.
The correct answer on who is the greatest motion picture star in American history is Humphrey Bogart.
Like I said, I ain't going to pretend I can argue with Woolley on that one.
All right, let's go to Larry Kudlow.
Speaking of arguing, yes.
Larry Kudlow has a show on Fox Business, and he's talking about Biden aides combing through the documents, knowing that there would be a special counsel appointed.
And I'm telling you, Lynn, this is earth-shattering stuff. This is going to be a big issue.
Now, if
I
could talk to Larry, I would tell him when he's asking a question of a member of Congress, try to hold the question down to maybe 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah,
but I did pull a short clip of the question that went on and on and on, but it was a good question. And let's listen to how he puts it. This is Larry Kudlow on his show on Fox Business asking the leading question that I think everybody needs to know the answer to.
Who are these personal lawyers and what were they doing rummaging around the garage? Do they have national security clearance? Who do they report to? And also, Jim Comer, why were they looking? Okay, this is the part. Now, hear me out on this. I'm going to give them a break in one sense. I understand they might have been moving documents from this Penn Biden Center in downtown Washington when Joe Biden became president. Okay, they might have been, and they discovered some classified documents. That's bad enough. I mean, that's already in violation. Mm-hmm. But what do you think caused them to then send, quote, personal lawyers to the guy's house?
I think that is the questions that keep coming up. That is maybe the key one I'd never heard anybody ask in that manner. And I wish I could have played you the whole Kudlow monologue there as he's asking Congressman Comer that. But let me, before we go to Comer, Jim, such a great question.
It was.
Why did somebody just happen to be, maybe it was Dr. Jill out there cleaning up the garage. I mean, maybe it was Hunter out there going, where did I put that memo to President Xi? You know, who knows what it was. But why were Biden's staff out rummaging through the garage?
As opposed to the FBI, per se?
And through the Biden Center at Penn University. And what were they looking for?
That's precisely the $64 million question. And why did it get leaked from the National Archives, essentially, is where
And why didn't the FBI immediately go to the scene? And you know what you do when there's a crime scene?
You secure it.
Well, first, you take a piece of chalk and you draw a line around the body.
Yeah. Give me a little break here.
And then if there's no body, you put up police. Do not cross. Police line, do not cross.
Tape.
The yellow tape. You know, but they would secure the scene.
And third, you lay out all the documents on
the floor and you take a
picture
and
send it to CNN.
All right, well, here's the answer from Congressman Comer.
It doesn't make sense. One theory out there is the fact that we've been very vocal on the House Oversight Committee about our intent to investigate National Archives with respect to not only how they treated President Trump by supposedly triggering the raid on Mar-a-Lago, when, in fact, previous presidents had also been accused of having in their possession classified documents, but also the fact that, there had been no transparency with National Archives. So, you know, we wonder if National Archives didn't communicate with Joe Biden and say, you know, we're pretty certain that you too have documents. You better be cleaning them up because, you know, we're not going down without bringing other people with us. So clean your mess up. Now, I don't know that that's what happened, but I think that's a legitimate theory out there.
Well, that's Comer practicing to be a talk show host. He doesn't know that that's what happened, but he puts the theory out there. Does it make sense to you?
Absolutely, Lynn. What's going on here? Joe Biden is factually, clearly, whether it's being reported sufficiently or not, Biden is clearly in more trouble than President Donald Trump ever was because the president has legal statutory right to classified documents after leaving the White House. Vice presidents do not, and he is clearly in violation of the law here. And then the other thing is the FBI is supposed to secure, and get this, the National Archives is supposed to have been giving a briefing. When the National Archives finds out that some documents are missing, they're supposed to give a briefing, a specific admissionable evidence of what's involved, what's missing, what was taken to the House and the Senate intelligence committees. They still haven't even done that for Donald Trump. So what's going on right now is that he illegally possessed documents that were entirely different from the Chinese influence over at the University of Pennsylvania. The Department of Justice cannot and should not block the committee's attempts to get that info. But where is the FBI and the weaponized Department of Justice in all this? That is the $64 million question. It's a crime scene, clearly.
Well, let me ask you, though. Comer is bringing up something I hadn't really even thought about, because I'm sitting here thinking, the National Archives, you know, they're They take care of all these papers and yada, yada, yada. But everything else in Washington is left wing. Is the National Archives now left wing? Are they protecting Biden? Are they part of a conspiracy? That's what Comer is throwing out on the table.
Well, you have to have experienced this to really understand it. During my younger years on Capitol Hill, I spent 15 long months as a bureaucrat in a small government agency. And I'm telling you, Lynn, you see a different type of animal, but for the grace of God go I. Bureaucrats lose their smiling muscles on their face, atrophy. You become depressed. But it is a certain type of person that, by and large, believes in big government, that believes in Democrat socialistic tendencies. Government is the solution to everything as opposed to individual liberties. So, yeah, it's maybe run amok, and after a number of years, you're ending up talking to liberal stuff, and they are part and parcel of the swamp when that word is used.
All right. Penn, the Biden Center is a 13,800-square-foot D.C. office.
Isn't this interesting?
13,800 square feet is larger than our studio.
Yep. That's a big place.
Star News Network, Bradley Vasoli is talking about where these documents were found, about a dozen of them at the Penn Biden Center. This was at the Center for Diplomacy and Global Engagement.
That's their official, yes.
And their mission, to engage our fellow citizens in shaping this world while ensuring the gains of global engagement are widely shared. So that's diversity and equity and all that crap.
Yep.
All right, so how much scholastic value Penn got out of this and its figurehead presence at the school of Joe Biden, the latter costing $900,000 in salary in less than 3 years, let's say.
Yep.
And then, but shortly after coming to Penn, Biden's spokesperson, it says here, I guess it was a woman, though, Kate Bedingfield, stated her boss would not teach courses after Biden had said he would.
Yep.
And even the left-leaning watchdog site PolitiFact concluded Biden's duties did not include the same degree of teaching, research, and administrative responsibilities you would associate with the term full professor. And then they're talking about all these undergraduate students working as interns. There is no telling who saw those papers.
Exactly. And the fact that Joe Biden was making $900,000 a year. In fact, somebody said he was there so rarely that the handful of times he did show up, it was big news just because he actually did show up. But what you're talking about here, Lynn, is unsecured, unprotected, national, and it's not just top secret, it's above top secret level. I don't know. I suspect we're going to find out what those were. I don't know how soon that is. But can you imagine how many people go through a garage, repairmen? And again, you got to remember, the spy community, our enemies are sophisticated, wily critters, and they know how to get into places. That's what they do. And Joe Biden had these things totally accessible, as you're saying, even to an intern type staffing situation.
I watched all three seasons of The Americans, which was a show on FX. It concluded a couple of years ago. It was probably the most eye-opening television show I've ever watched. Yes, it was fiction, but was it? It took place during the Reagan administration,
yes,
where Russia takes two essentially children and spends the next 10 to 15 years teaching them English, teaching them American history, teaching them American customs, getting rid of their Russian accents, and then plants them in America.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't seen it, binge it.
Is that good?
My goodness.
Well, the big thing's going to be, this really could threaten to bog down the Biden presidency.
The Biden presidency needs bogging down.
Yeah.
Talk 1370 is the right choice. What about this whale? And what about these miles that you may be taxed for?
Oh, yes.
Cardlin Woolley is back in a moment.
What is going on with you two?
It's time for Cardle and Woolley's News to Know.
Stay tuned to this station for further news flashes.
Before you go.
And here we go.
Go!
All right, Casey says there were six seasons of the Americans. Wikipedia says there were six seasons of the Americans. IMBD says there were six seasons of the Americans. I am going to do further research. And I realize I was wrong on that, too.
Oh, stop that.
You walked right into that one.
Okay, look, do we drill in the Gulf? Do we explore for more oil in the Gulf?
Heck, or do we save
the new Rice's whale that was discovered in 2021?
Well, this is interesting because this story, again, here in the Texas Tribune, one of your favorite publications.
Oh, yeah. I love the Texas Tribune.
It says at the beginning of the article that it was discovered in 2021. Then here, a few paragraphs down, it says that according to NOAA, that would be the National Oceanographic Administration, says that the whales were hit hard by the 2010 Deepwater Horizon oil spill. I don't understand how it could be hurt in 2010 if it was just discovered in 2021. So, you know, why is it that these never known before or previously unheard of species show up like a salamander in a spring only when the left wants to stop some progress and stop anything from happening that might lead to the betterment, like more exploration? They need to be thinking about all the fans and the windmills that are going to be going in out in the Gulf.
Well, that's a good point. But look, I want to save the whales. I want the whole set. But look, you've got a situation where they're saying that NOAA estimates that about 22% of the whale population was lost because of the spill.
They say there's only 50 of them. How do they know there's only 50 about them?
Because they ask one of them.
It's pure
speculation. Because I represent science.
I don't know.
Exactly.
Look, I will say this.
Yes.
There are three animals that I worry about.
Okay.
And I wrote a song about it.
Are humans one of them?
Humans were the fourth, yes.
I did
include a verse in the song, but I started off with the American eagle, the bald eagle, the American eagle.
Oh, that's a good
because
one.
That's the emblem of our country, and they're endangered, and I think we need to make sure we save them.
Okay.
The second one was the whales, big blue, the blue whales especially.
Okay.
Gordon Lightfoot wrote a great song called Big Blue.
Uh-huh.
And the third one was elephants. Elephants are endangered because the poachers kill them for ivory.
Yes.
And I don't want to live in a world where there's no elephants. I mean, they're magnificent animals. But in this particular case, you're right. They want to put all their windmills out there.
This whole environmental cult, Lynn, it's gone beyond a religion. It's now a cult. I even saw something the other day that the Heartland Institute sent out a bunch of scientists to look at the thermometers. There's like thousands of thermometers placed around the country by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to measure surface temperature, and 89% of them failed to get the accurate reading. That means our science is biased or inaccurate from the get-go. This stuff is just a bunch of horse hockey.
All right, just the news is saying it hasn't been a good week for White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
Hold me down!
She is the worst. Tony Snow was amazing.
He was one of the best.
Yeah,
yes.
He really was.
People can't listen to her anymore.
Well, she doesn't seem to have any clue how to handle this. And again, put yourself in her place, though. Well, I'm not sure that'd be an easy thing to do.
It's but, a tough job.
But imagine trying to be a press secretary with a president like Joe Biden.
Oh, it would be impossible. Literally.
Yeah, but she does agree with everything he's doing.
She can't be continuing to say with this document gate effort that they're not going to answer questions, and Joe Biden continue to have documents be released every other day.
Yeah, here's what Jonathan Turley said. It is increasingly painful to watch Karine Jean-Pierre as she argues that they have been transparent by being transparently unwilling to answer any questions.
One of the
Washington dodges is this is under investigation, so we can't comment. The other one is I'd like to refer you to the State Department or to the Transportation Department or whatever it might be, and nobody will even get back with you there.
We'll circle back with you.
Even some Democrat senators, I'm thinking specifically of Mark Warner from Virginia, says he needs a briefing and he needs to be updated. This is a big concern. It doesn't look good.
Well, I mean, but you're the Texas insider. Tell me why. If a media a representative of the media or a representative of the general public, and the media is part of the general public. We are not licensed by the state to be media representatives. If we make a request for a piece of information, how do state or national agencies get away with just ignoring you?
They shouldn't, is the bottom line.
No, you're right, but they do.
But they are because they don't do their job.
All right, just the stuff we didn't get to today is a full show for tomorrow.
It is.
We will move it ahead of the stack so you don't miss a thing. That'll put the plug in the jug for Cardle and Woolley today. Be logical, everybody. Remember, you're either an insider
or you're not. I'm Jim Cardle. Have a great Wednesday, folks.
Okay, guys, we got to put our trays up for takeoff.
Where's Dad?
Oh, he's in the back. We could only get three seats together.
Daddy has my pillow.
We'll get it later. Can you not put your feet up, please?
Why aren't we going?
We must be in line for takeoff.
Like security?
Well, that was a different line.
I have to go.
We just sat down.
But I have to go.
The seatbelt sign's on.
Why aren't we moving?
Hey, no kicking.
We're just 15th in line for takeoff.
Son of a...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.